AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. This hour of Rogan and Rodney brought to you by Wood Ranch. Award-winning barbecue. WoodRanch.com.
We want it.
Order online today.
AM 570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports. Jam today. Next segment, Bill Orme, Laker Insider, will join us. LeBron said he had absolutely no input whatsoever in the decision to hire Frank Vogel to become the coach. You buying what he's selling? Because Bill Orme will have the answer for him.
We'll find out. Yeah, I'm buying it, Fred.
Are you?
Yeah.
You don't think they consulted or asked him at all?
I think they asked him after they decided what they were going to do. I think after they narrowed it down. I think they said, you know, what do you think about these guys? And he said, yeah, okay. But I don't think he was in the room. Define role he had. Define that.
Well, that's what Bill Orme will do.
Yeah.
He will define the role. Dodgers will work out at the stadium tonight at about 6 o'clock. I think they'll go for an hour. Dave Roberts will then talk to the media. They will find out tonight who they'll meet on Thursday. Game 1 NLDS. It'll be the Brewers or the Nationals. Brandon Woodruff, hurt for a good portion of the year for the Brewers, gets the start against Max Scherzer for the Nationals. The game is in Washington. Depending on who wins, that will determine what time the game is at Dodger Stadium Thursday and Friday. If, in fact, Washington wins, now, Vic, help me because I heard you do this yesterday.
Right.
If Washington wins, it'll be a 5:30 start.
That is correct.
And if Milwaukee wins, it'll be a 6:30 start.
That is correct.
So what they're doing is making sure it starts at 8:30 on the East Coast either way.
Right. They want to get the East Coast love, but obviously, depending on who wins the do or die wild card tonight, that will set the timetable for Thursday, Chavez Ravine.
Okay.
But it's a 9:30 on the East Coast, Fred.
If
the Brewers.
That's right. So what I said made no sense. That's absolutely right. And you know what they're saying? If the Brewers win, the East Coast doesn't care.
Doesn't care.
Doesn't care one bit.
Right.
That's right. They're setting it up for the Central time zone.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, so nobody cares about the Brewers. We learned that. Thank you, Rodney.
Don't underestimate the Brewers tonight.
No, listen, I think we're all rooting for
the
Brewers tonight.
Do not underestimate the Brewers tonight.
Everybody's rooting for the Brewers.
Rooting for the Brewers.
Come on.
Max Scherzer is going to have an off day.
Come on, Brew Crew.
I got your Cy Young right here.
I got your Cy Young.
All right, latest odds to win the World Series out. Astros are the team to beat, according to Vegas, followed by the Dodgers and the Yankees. So what that tells us is, the Dodgers are the odds-on favorite to win the National League no matter what. And then it just comes down to who they will meet in the American League. I've been concerned about Houston.
Yes.
I thought Houston would be there instead of the Yankees. These odds kind of confirm that.
Yes. Houston, they're a dangerous team. Not only do they have a great staff, pitching staff, that has, you know, performed tremendously this year, up and down that lineup, there are tough outs everywhere up and down that lineup, and they play well together. They play well in big moments. As we've seen, they are a scary team to face, and they're playing, you know, the best baseball, I think, right now of all the teams entering into the playoffs.
Well, that pitching staff, good Lord.
Yeah.
Well, they got Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
They figured it out. That doesn't mean the Dodgers won't win. That doesn't mean the Dodgers.
So you're rooting for the Yankees to come out of that. Are you based on what the Yankees?
I didn't like what I saw against the Yankees out at the stadium.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, wouldn't you prefer to play the Yankees and the Astros?
I don't think so because
no.
Here's why: because the Yankees are just scarier because they're enormous. They're like land of the giants. Those are the biggest guys on a baseball team I've ever seen in my life.
But aren't the Yankees feast or famine most of the time? I mean, they are. They are. They will. They can crush you 12-2. But they didn't come out and score no runs. Whereas the Astros, I think, are more consistent, and you're going to have to fight every single game for 9 innings with those guys, where I think the Yankees are a kind of a hot and cold team where, yeah, they may blow you out, but then they may go in a tank for two games and not hit.
That's fair, except I didn't like what Dodger hitters did against Yankee pitching. That was my concern in that series. I didn't like what they did.
It was an aberration. You got to root for the Yankees hard because at Game 7, would be at Dodger Stadium.
There you go, Vic.
If the Dodgers face the Yankees. Now, if we face the Astros, the Game 7 would be in that wacky Minute Maid Park carnival ride they got out there.
Yeah, but it didn't matter last time where Game 7 was against the Astros.
No.
Yeah, but
the team has learned.
It mattered the pitcher that we put out there.
That hurt. Yeah.
That didn't help.
That was disastrous. But bottom line is they've learned from these last two World Series experiences, and now the third will be the key. But I want the Yankees. I mean, also, just for baseball's sake, to elevate, you know, the baseball's character and brand, you want a New York, L.A., Dodgers, Yankees World Series because everyone will be involved and everyone will be invested.
Yeah, MLB has got to be. I mean, deep down inside, they would root for that, right? Dodgers, Yankees, it hadn't happened in a long time. Both teams are pretty good. It would be exciting because there would be some home runs hit in that series. And I think that was just a series, Fred. I would be more afraid of the Astros pitching than the Yankees pitching. I mean, given, you know, I know that series the Dodger hitters didn't do well, but I would still rather face the Yankee pitching than the Astro pitching.
Let me give you five names. I'll give you five Dodger names now. You think about it, you tell me of these five, who might have the most pressure on heading into the playoffs? Five Dodgers. Hyunjin Ryu. He's on the list because the Dodgers are going to need him to pitch like he has over the past year and a half during regular outings. Last year, Ryu made four starts in the playoffs, pitched five or more innings in only one of them. His ERA was 5.21. All right, there's one. Cody Bellinger. You got to have your best player show up in the playoffs. For the Dodgers, that player will be Bellinger. In 31 postseason games with 124 career at-bats, he's hitting 172. Dave Roberts. No debating the success Dave Roberts has had. Three division titles. Back-to-back World Series appearances. The unfortunate reality, though, they haven't won the World Series. The next name, Clayton Kershaw. His postseason narrative continues to live on. It's exhausting, it's annoying, and sometimes just infuriating to talk about. He has struggled at times in the playoffs compared to his regular season dominance. ERA, postseason career, 4.32. The last name on the list, Kenley Jansen. The top spot for a couple of reasons here. For one, like Kershaw, he's had some past October demons to exercise. He has struggled this year. He has 8 blown saves this year, which is the most in baseball among closers. I've given you 5 names. Which of the 5, if any, have the most pressure on them entering the playoffs?
For me, it's without a doubt Kenley Jansen. Kenley Jansen has the most pressure on him because he is the closer. Most of these games are going to come down. Can you close a game out? Can your guy shut the team down in the ninth inning in a one-run ball game? He's been hot and cold this year, and mostly cold in big-time situations. Like you said, has the most blown saves this year. There's an uncomfortable feeling right now with Kenley Jansen coming out of the bullpen, which Kenley we're going to get. So I think giving this past year and also giving the last couple of World Series, the pressure solely, it will be on Kenley Jansen because he's gonna be called upon to shut down and win the game. And that's a lot of pressure. Not saying the other guys don't, but I think Kenley's got the most on him.
From my end, there's no doubt it's Clayton Kershaw because as you spotlighted, Fred, his postseasons have been from hell. He's pitched some good games, but obviously he's below 500. In postseason, his ERA is at least a run above, you know, his normal insane ERA in the regular season. He's the best regular season pitcher of our time and space, there's no doubt. And this year has been a revelation for Clayton. You know, the evolution of Clayton Kershaw, 22-1. Suddenly, he has a whole new repertoire. He's got a whole new pitching style. He's reinvented himself.
He's given up a lot of home runs, Vic.
So who hasn't? I mean, the whole league is a juice ball. The ball is juiced and going nuts. But bottom line is, Clayton's legacy has to be cemented by the postseason. He's a Hall of Famer, but just for that extra love, insane first ballot for the Hall of Fame, he's got to have a great World Series. He's got to win a couple of games, come in relief maybe, you know, lock it down like he does in relief. That's why he pitched in relief in San Francisco. I think that was a shape of things to come. You'll see Clayton in relief, maybe NLDS, NLCS, World Series. Clayton's going to come out of the pen. If they need outs, Dave's not going to fool around with Dylan Floro. It's going to be Clayton Kershaw, man. There's no fooling around. Outs are precious in the postseason. You heard it here first. Outs are precious in the postseason.
Well, I actually heard it elsewhere.
So
too.
You're saying really they're precious?
Heard it? Who said
who said it?
Everybody outs are precious in the
postseason. I've never heard that before.
I've never heard it
I
either,
just came up with it, friend.
Yeah. All right, I'll take it.
Okay.
All right.
But Clayton, to me, has that burden. But for Clayton, it's going to be fun. It's not going to be pressure. Oh, I got to get out there. For Clayton, it's fun. He's had such a fun year. You know, he won 16 games.
But he got hit hard at the end of the year.
Who didn't get hit hard, Fred?
Yeah, but now we're in the
Verlander
playoffs.
Verlander got hit hard.
Didn't Verlander throw a no-hitter recently?
I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, he did. He did. But he's also, hasn't Verlander given up more home runs than he's given
solo
up this season
as
well?
Solo shots every game. So, Verlander doesn't care.
Yeah.
You don't care about the solo shots. And that's what it is. Kershaw gives up solo shots. Verlander gives up solo shots. Just got to keep the damage down to like a run or two, and the Dodger offense will take over.
Will Cody Bellinger take over? Is he going to step up now in this postseason?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he will. You know, it's third year in. You know, as a rookie, that's a whole new ball game for him and dealing with that. You know, the sophomore slump that people say they had, even though he hit 25 home runs and hit almost 270. You know, I think he's a different guy. When he came into spring training this past year, he's a different player all season long. I think he's more focused. There's pressure on him, but I think he handles it well.
The MVP had pressure all year long because he reinvented his swing.
Yep.
And he hits over 300, 47 homers, 117 RBIs, whatever. MVP. His defense is spectacular. He runs the bases spectacularly. His speed is unbelievable. He's athletic. He's off the hook athletic-wise.
Yep.
He's ready. I believe he's poised for this noise.
And I think last year, being platooned in the World Series, I think really lit a fire under him going into this year. And I think that's going to pay off, I think, in the postseason.
I think Rio will pitch well. I think he'll be fine. So I think that will be key. And I don't know, Dave Roberts, I talked to Steve Garvey about this over the weekend, about the way, you know, they're going to run guys out there and how they're going to handle things. And he was quick to point out, remember, going into the game, it's collaborative. Everybody works on what they're going to do. But it seems to me, just by not platooning Cody this year, I don't think you're going to see as much of that in the playoffs. I think that is going to make a difference for the Dodgers. I think you're going to see more, and maybe I'm wrong, Rodney, this is what we're going with. Instead of, left-hander, all right-handed hitters. Right-hander, all left-handed hitters. I think they're going to roll these guys out there and let them play. Yeah, I think that'll be a key.
Well, I think to a certain extent. I mean, I think there's certain guys, they're going to play all the time. You know, Corey Seager's going to play shortstop. I mean, you know that. Justin Turner, if healthy, hopefully, will play third base. You know, the question becomes, who plays second base on a regular basis? Is that's going to be a platoon maybe situation? But right field is going to be Cody. And then what do you do with David Freese and Max Muncy? How do you play those guys? Because the Dodgers have so much depth and so many quality guys that you have to be able to utilize those guys. So you will see some interchangeable thing. The outfield is going to be the interesting part. You know, center field, you know, you've seen Cody move to center field now, and he'll probably do that in the playoffs. And Jock maybe play right, and then they have Pollock in left. Because Pollock's bat has come on of late.
Yeah, he's hitting a lick now.
Yeah, so I think that's a good outfield. Obviously, they're going to miss Verdugo. I really believe that, that energy. But I think you're going to be solidified in the outfield, as you mentioned. Those guys will start and be out there. It's just how do you use Freeze, Muncy, you know, Hernandez, Chris Taylor, those guys at second
Beatty.
Base, first base, Beatty, you know, those guys. So.
All right, Kershaw, Jansen, Ryu, Bellinger, Roberts. Dodger fans, who has the most pressure? Tweet us. At Fred NBCLA, at Rodney Pete 9, at Rogan and Rodney. And if you want to weigh in on this, we'll drop them in as we continue throughout the afternoon.
Rogan. AM 570.
And Rodney. AM 570 LA Sports.
Takes in the best sports talk in the city from a man who lived it.
And Fred.
Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. Is it a Tuesday, Fred? It is a Tuesday, Fred. Yeah, it's Tuesday. We're feeling good on a Tuesday. It's sunny. Looking out the window. Baseball playoffs starting today. We'll figure out who the Dodgers are going to play.
Yep, 5 o'clock.
Hoping it's the Brewers, Fred. Hoping it's the Brewers.
I'm with you, Rodney. I'm with you. But then again, if you're going to win the World Series, you're going to win the title, you got to beat who's ever in front of you.
You do. You do.
Just want the road to be a little easier, that's all.
Yeah.
Bottom of the hour, know your squad. Today, the squad is the Dodgers. Whoever jumps on to try to know their squad against Rodney, going to Wood Ranch. And that'll happen in about 8 minutes from now. Let's bring in our Laker insider, Bill Orem. Bill, good afternoon.
Hello, fellas. What's going on today?
It's all good. Bill, of course, writes for The Athletic. He's with us every day. He's all over the club. Your latest article focused on whether LeBron can be an elite defender this season. What's your take?
Well, I think the question is more what kind of defender he needs to be for the Lakers to have an elite defense. And if you look at what the Lakers did this summer, they went out and they targeted guys with really strong defensive reputations, but these are also players who haven't necessarily been great defenders or been considered, you know, all defensive defenders for a number of years, the exception being Danny Green, who was all defense second team in 2017, and Anthony Davis, who I think is still considered obviously one of the league's best defenders. But that used to be LeBron. LeBron was, you know, twice the runner-up for defensive player of the year. He's been on the all-defensive team six times, but not since 2014. And so the question is, can the Lakers be this defensive juggernaut that Frank Vogel is envisioning with a guy in LeBron who last year was frequently spotted, you know, taking plays off defensively, not helping from the weak side? Can he be a great defender? And so then you have to wonder, well, how much of that was because of the team he had around him last year, the fact the Lakers weren't really in the mix, and versus just what his natural decline defensively has been. And it was interesting because Frank Vogel and Danny Green talked about this yesterday, and they didn't really dance around the fact, or 2 days ago, that LeBron is obviously not the, you know, at the, you know, athletic peak he was at in, you know, in the Miami days. But they still believe he can be a great defender, and that's kind of by being kind of the quarterback of the defense and being, Frank Vogel called him both the quarterback and the middle linebacker, but the idea that he can kind of be the captain of the defense even if he's not the most agile defender with that group because of the way he sees the game. And so I think that's what the Lakers are hoping for, that LeBron has the defensive acumen to be a force back there and make big plays, even if he can't be the guy he was with the Heat when he was considered one of the league's best defenders.
Do you think that deep down LeBron still has something to prove? I mean, I know he said it publicly, I have nothing left to prove, but I know as an athlete every year, especially when it gets to a point where you don't have such a great year before, you're injured, people are thinking you're older and all those type of things. Do you think deep down inside he believes that he still has a lot to prove?
I suspect he does, and Rodney, I think LeBron is a pretty comfortable guy. I think he is comfortable in his own skin. I think he is, you know, in a sense, satisfied with what he's achieved in the NBA. But he also has talked about chasing the ghost of Michael Jordan and the six rings Jordan won, and he may not get there, but this is obviously kind of the best chance he probably will have in the rest of his career is this partnership with Anthony Davis. So the clock's ticking. He knows that the narrative around him changed a little bit this summer. I don't think anybody was talking a year ago about LeBron's getting really old. Can he still do it? That was not the narrative around LeBron. Then he comes here, only plays 55 games, misses the playoffs for the first time in forever, and it starts to change a little bit. And if nothing else, I think there's a little bit of face to be saved here and to make something of his Lakers tenure. So I think that motivation is there for LeBron. There was a 1 year grace period, I think, to get him the team that, you know, could be his team. He inherited a lot of young guys last year when the Lakers were on a different path, they were on a different trajectory. And then LeBron James fell into their lap and it took them a year to kind of get things aligned with their best player. And so I think LeBron knows that he could probably be let off the hook for year one, but that means doing something pretty special in year two.
Hey, Bill, LeBron said he had no input whatsoever into the decision to hire Frank Vogel or the coaching search in general. Are you buying that?
Well, I think if he'd had final say, Ty Lue would be the coach right now.
That's
so I
fair.
Do think that there's something to LeBron not being the ultimate decider there. We've heard kind of the idea that the Lakers were at least sensitive to the idea that hiring Ty Lue would make it seem too much like they had ceded all power to LeBron. Never minding the fact that Ty Lue was, you know, fresh off of a couple of title runs and wanted the job. Ty Lue was in the mix and was the lead candidate out of consideration to LeBron, which is not to say Ty wasn't qualified for the job independent of LeBron. But the fact that they made Ty Lue their guy, I think, was a concession to LeBron James. But they also weren't going to go beyond what they had decided was going to be the structure of their contract in order to placate LeBron. And that's where talks broke down. And once they got past Ty Lue, I think, you know, kind of all bets were off in terms of you know, how could they salvage the search? And I don't know if they went to LeBron and asked him to give Frank Vogel the final stamp of approval once Ty Lue was off the board. But I can't see any reason why he wouldn't have approved of Frank Vogel. LeBron ran into Vogel's Pacers teams a number of times when he was in the Eastern Conference. I think there was a strong mutual respect there. Frank Vogel's teams had things that the Lakers have lacked over the last few years, a real toughness and defensive identity. And those are things that, you know, LeBron needs around him at this stage in his career when he's not, you know, when he does need a little more help.
Yeah, I think you said it. I think there's a mutual respect that LeBron and Frank Vogel have for each other, which I think bodes well for the Lakers. A lot's been made of what the starting lineup's going to look like, Bill. You know, and you know, it goes back for Rondo at point guard. Caruso's making a case. But in terms of center, Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, to me, I feel like it would be better to start Dwight and bring JaVale off the bench because I think Dwight is a guy, if you get him involved early, he could be more productive rather than coming off the bench. What do you think?
I think that's a good point. I've leaned the other way because I think JaVale is a guy who felt like he came in last year and had a lot to prove and hadn't had a multi-year contract in, you know, the better part of a decade. He'd been playing on minimums. And then he came in last year, did a really good job and got himself, you know, a couple of years on the deal, not a minimum contract. I think he is the incumbent guy in this job. And the thing about Dwight, I'm very concerned about Dwight's physical health. I mean, this is something, you know, he obviously only played a handful of games last year. He's getting older. I think that he helps you the most in the postseason. Now, obviously, you have to get to the postseason, but I don't think that you want to be in a position where you need to, you know, be riding Dwight heavily to get to the playoffs. So start JaVale, have that good, you know, that good, you know, rim protector in JaVale, and take it a little bit easy on Dwight and hope that he can still be in peak form by the time April arrives.
Hey, Bill, before we let you go, our insider Bill Orme from The Athletic with us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM570 LA Sports. I know the term load management's been used an awful lot. Frank Vogel said, we're not going to see LeBron very much in the preseason, if at all. Have they talked about load management during the regular season for LeBron or AD?
They have not discussed it with the public yet. That's not something that they want to really, I don't think they want to show their hand on how they're going to handle it. You know, Anthony Davis is one thing. I mean, he's 28. He didn't play a lot of games yet last year. I think that they will probably try to take it somewhat easy on him just to prevent injury. But LeBron, I think, especially when you consider the fact he's going to turn 35 in December, is coming off a career low in games played. I would absolutely expect them to work in concert with their training staff and identify games where they can rest him or leave him home on a one game road trip, that sort of thing. So there's been nothing out of Lakers camp that would suggest they are going to deviate from what has become the trend in the NBA. I fully expect that they will take it carefully, monitor both those guys really closely.
All right, Bill, thanks for jumping on today. We appreciate it as always.
My pleasure, guys.
Rodney, earlier in the show, we asked the question, who's got the most pressure as a Dodger heading into this postseason? We listed five names. Alexi tweets, Kenley Jansen has the biggest pressure by far. He's going to, he is going in shaky with people, fans plus organization, not having 100% faith in him. And Kenley Jansen certainly is a guy that is necessary, needed, and needs to perform well.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette. Know your squad.
Yeah, and what I say, remember, listen to win. Your Dodgers NLDS prize pack from Lids. I rock my lids all the time. I dig lids.
Yeah, you do.
I'm known for my lids.
And I go to lids.
They're featuring the playoff hats, the shirts, the whole thing. So you can get pumped up for the upcoming playoffs with your custom jerseys or hats. Dodgers Clubhouse stores, you can pick them up at Lids locations. Universal City Walk, Hollywood and Highland, and the great city of Montebello. The Lids! I love them. And now, how about Know Your Squad?
How about Eric and Carson? You there?
Yeah, what's going on, fellas?
All right, here's the deal. I'm going to give you the question.
Come on.
And we'll give you some answers. And when you have the answer, you yell it out. It's Know Your Squad. And with the playoffs getting started for the Dodgers, it's Know Your Dodgers. You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
Cody Bellinger currently had the highest batting average for the Dodgers this season. Who had the second highest batting average on the team? Alex Verdugo, Justin Turner, AJ Pollock, Corey Seager, Bob Seager.
Corey Seager.
Corey Seager.
No, senor!
Let's summarize Justin Turner.
And it is no good.
Oh, my God.
You got a shot, Eric?
God.
Yeah, it's Alex Verdugo.
What's the other two again?
It's Alex Verdugo.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Alex Verdugo.
What did Alex hit?
294.
Because Justin hit 290.
Yeah.
So, listen, averages are almost meaningless now. It's just
Stop it, Vic.
It's run production.
Stop it, Vic.
We're not averages anymore. Really.
Vic,
stop you hit 250, it. But you're knocking 110 runs. I mean,
you know the game, and you're too old to say averages don't matter, Vic. Buy into the young man's game anymore.
Listen, I'm into what's happening. And what's happening is batting average are meaningless. Am I right, Andrew? Eric, sorry.
Eric,
man.
You go get you some. You the man, bitch.
Feeling you, Eric.
All right. Including this season, the Dodgers have made the playoffs for 7 straight years. Before that stretch with Don Mattingly and Dave Roberts, who was the manager the last time the Dodgers made the postseason in consecutive years?
Joe Torre.
I didn't even give you the choice, but you're right.
Joe doing the good work right now with Major League Baseball. I don't know what he does, but he does a great job.
2008 and 2009.
Yes, he did.
All right, Eric, you ready for this one?
Gordon Mattingly.
Yeah.
Sean Green holds the single-season record for most home runs hit by a Dodger with 49. Who is second on that
Cody
list?
Cody Bellinger.
Could I give you the choices?
No.
Did you say Cody Bellinger?
I did.
Well.
And it is no good.
Oh.
Look at you.
Look at me.
Oh, come on now.
Jimmy Wynn.
Toy Cannon.
Oh, God. Here we go.
How about new?
Okay, give me the choices.
The choices
are.
Okay.
Gary Sheffield, Adrian Beltre, Adrian Gonzalez, Elian Gonzalez.
Adrian Beltre.
Adrian Beltre, babe.
Beltre.
Yep.
Did you say Elian Gonzalez?
You got it, Eric.
Wasn't that the kid on the raft from Cuba?
Yes, Elian Gonzalez, yes.
And why DiPendejo gave away Adrian Beltre, did not re-sign him, is one of the freakiest moves in Dodger history.
Well, they didn't want to pay, Vic.
Adrian Beltre is a Hall of Famer.
Did you read the story,
I think it pay Hall of Famers.
Talking about like paying, did you read the story about the Red Sox? That they're looking at their roster. They may not re-sign Mookie Betts. They're going in a different direction. They're going the Dodgers direction.
They don't want to pay the tax.
They're going to Marlins. They're doing the Marlins and do a fire sale.
I don't know if they're doing the Marlins.
Well, they said they can't afford both J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts. So at least one of them is probably on the way up.
Between those two, who are you taking?
Oh, Betts, obviously.
Without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, Betts. But still, if you want to compete, Boston, you got to pay your superstars.
All right, here's the next one. The franchise has used the name Dodgers on a full-time basis since 1931. Prior to becoming the Dodgers, what was their franchise name?
Come on, Brooklyn, man.
The Brooklyn Bums, the Brooklyn Robins, the Brooklyn Titans, the Brooklyn Clowns, the Vampires in Brooklyn.
Eric, what do you think?
The Robins.
Oh, you got it, Eric.
Eric. Yeah, wow. Come on now. Yeah.
Did you know that, Eric? Did you take a shot in the dark?
Shot in the dark, buddy.
That's what I'm talking about.
And it was a direct hit.
At least you're honest.
Former Atlanta Braves manager Bobby Cox was ejected a record 161 times in his career. Which former Dodger manager holds the team record for most ejections? Tommy Lasorda.
Tommy Lasorda.
No.
We don't have enough time.
And it is no good.
Leo DeRocher. Joe Torre. Bill Russell. Kurt Russell.
Leo DeRocher.
Leo the Lip.
Leo the Lip.
Leo the Lip.
Leo had some lip, man.
Yeah, he did. And plus, he had Jackie on the team, too. So he had a lot of talking to do.
Yeah, he did.
He was defending Jackie.
That's right.
All right, last one. What Leo. Pitcher holds the Dodger record for most home runs allowed in their career? Is it Sandy Koufax, Don Sutton, Don Newcomb, Don Drysdale, my man Don Martin?
Dima.
Don Sutton.
Don Sutton is right.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, come on now. That's what I'm talking about.
Eric knows his squad. He knows the Dodgers.
Yeah, he does.
Yes.
Eric, nice
That's
job.
That's right. That's right.
That's
Thank
right.
you.
That's right. All right, Eric, you knew the Dodgers. Now what do you know? What do you get now? You don't know that, do you, Eric? Huh? Thought you knew everything.
No.
All right, here's what
I thought I did, too.
All right, well, here's what you get. You get Wood Ranch. Wood How's
ranch,
that sound?
Wood Ranch, baby.
That's what I'm talking about. The tri-tip, the beef back ribs, the baby back ribs, the roasted chicken.
Man.
You're going to Wood Ranch, Eric. How do you like them apples? There you go.
I love it. I love it, brothers. Thank you.
Hey, man, thanks for listening to the show. We really appreciate it.
Oh, man, you guys are awesome, man. Thank you.
At Rodney Pete 9.
On Twitter.
At Fred NBCLA.
Rogan and Rodney.
Your noon delight.
Yeah. Today's afternoon delight is Champagne by Eric Bellinger. The singer, songwriter, producer has released a number of tracks over the last couple of months and dropped this latest single last week. He recruits rappers Wale and Guapdad 4000 for this track, which is one of the lead singles off his recent album entitled Saved by the Bellinger.
By the Bellinger?
Yeah. Again, today's afternoon delight is Champagne by Eric Bellinger, featuring Wale and Guapdad 4000.
Jonathan Whittier, how you doing? You're on AM 570 LA Sports.
What's up, man? How you doing?
We're doing good. You all right today?
Good, man. Good. Excited to get these tickets.
You're going a pair of tickets to see UCLA take on Oregon State this weekend at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. Call 310-UCLA-WINNER. Go to UCLA or go to UCLABruins.com to purchase tickets. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Sounds great. Made my day.
Hey, we appreciate you listening to the show.
Every day, man. I won't miss it.
All right. Thank you. You have a good one. Thanks, Jonathan. All right, another happy customer.
Love that. Love that, Freddie.
We've got more giveaways coming up today. We've got a Lids gift pack, and we've also got an MLB prize pack as the Dodgers get ready for the playoffs.
All right.
And now, from the court to the courtroom with Jacob Imrani.
Here he comes, our good friend Jacob Imrani. How are you today?
Good afternoon. How are you guys?
We're doing great, Jacob.
Doing great.
You know, let me ask you a question. We talk about what you do every day and how you help people. And oftentimes you'll have a client and you'll represent the client against an insurance company. But what if the insurance company says, look, we only have so much money. I mean, we don't have what you're asking for. What happens?
You know, Fred, it's crazy. We deal with this same situation and it frustrates me because we got some great clients with great injuries, but the California law only requires you to be driving around with a $15,000 policy protection. So when somebody gets involved in an accident and has bigger injuries, like we've been talking in the past weeks, unless they buy additional insurance by themselves to protect them, they're stuck with only...
We lost Jacob.
Uh-oh.
Did we?
Did we?
Okay, let's punch it back up. You there, Jacob?
I'm here.
Okay, keep going. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so what I was saying is that our biggest frustration is that unless our clients buy their own additional insurance, like we've been talking for the past few weeks, then a person who's badly injured is stuck basically only being able to pick up $15,000 if somebody who had hit them has bought the minimal policy. But what's amazing is, you know, today we settle the case. It was against, an individual who hit our client who was driving, having Infinity Insurance. And unfortunately, Infinity Insurance usually sells very cheap $15,000 policy only. And the reason I'm proud of this is because this was a client of ours who was sitting at a light and the other person basically lost control and hit him head on. And, our client was badly injured. She was smart enough to go to the hospital right after the insurance and, you know, was able to document all of their injuries right after. So we had, you know, we didn't have a problem being able to prove it, but Infinity was still being very difficult. They didn't believe our client's injuries. So we kept asking them, pay our $15,000, pay our $15,000. And they kept saying, no, we don't believe your client's badly injured. Client was smart, went to the doctor and ended up, you know, having a, minor surgery, which now put their medical records at about $30,000 to $35,000, which is now more than the $15,000 that Infinity had. Well, Infinity came back and said, now we're willing to pay you the $15,000. And we said, too little, too late. So we filed a lawsuit, and right before we went to trial today, they ended up paying our client $225,000, which is literally 20 times the amount that they would have had to pay if they would have only paid up when we asked. And the reason I wanted to share this with, you know, our listeners is because this is a rare occasion where a client does everything the way they're supposed to, goes to the hospital after an accident, reports everything, and the insurance company basically falls asleep or bluffs that we're not going to file a lawsuit on the case. But now the client goes from having to pay $40,000 to $50,000 from their pocket to have that surgery to now not only get all of their medical bills paid, all of their costs and attorney fees paid, but they're going to walk away with well over $50,000, $60,000, even $70,000 in their pocket after everything being paid. And I feel like it's important to share that because sometimes we can turn a bad situation into a very, very good situation and a client that, you know, was able to get all of their treatment and get better, which is the most important part of when we handle a case.
Hey, Jacob, also I want to talk to you about this and let you talk about it because it's October 1st and it's a big month. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and you do it big, man.
You know, I got to tell you, breast cancer, especially the awareness of it, really has a place in my heart because I know that everybody, every family has been touched by it. You know, the wonderful women in our lives, whether it's a mother, whether it's a grandmother, a sister, a wife, everyone's been touched by it, and, you know, I always look forward to getting to October because this is the time where we put all of our efforts, we change all of our billboards go pink, all of our commercials go pink, and we all get together with friends, suppliers, people that work with us, and we go to everybody and ask them to donate to this amazing cause because, as you know, getting breast cancer these days doesn't necessarily mean that it's a death sentence. And with all of the monies that have been caused and with all the efforts put in, people actually have a chance to stay alive and survive, especially if they get screened and especially if they catch it, you know, early enough. So it really, really holds a special place in our heart. We, you know, as I said, we go all pink. We're all in order to fight and in order to help all the wonderful women in our lives in order to be able to have a fighting chance and to stay with us by surviving this horrific, horrific disease.
All right, Jacob, before we let you go, we asked this question at the top of the show. Five Dodgers, which one has the most pressure as they get ready for the postseason? Ryu, Bellinger, manager Dave Roberts, Clayton Kershaw, or Kenley Jansen? Who do you think?
You know, I think three people share it, and I'll tell you in three different. I think definitely the manager, he shares it, because if this year he can't take us all the way through, you know that there's going to be some murmuring about him not being here, and now they're starting to talk about Madden and all those conversations, which I don't know, you know, what I believe. I believe Kershaw, because this is finally his chance. He's not the only person we're depending on, but if he comes through, he could be the one that could make the difference. And lastly, but I would think probably most importantly, Kenley. I mean, Kenley's going to have to be able to show that he is going to be able to come through for us. He's got to make the saves when we need them, because without a bullpen, we're not going to be able to win the pennant. And I think all three of them are going to have pressure, but each of them in their own different ways.
Jacob, thank you for coming on. We look forward to our chats each and every week. You're the best.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you for having me on, and thank you for allowing me to talk about the Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Listen, it's our pleasure, and we respect you greatly for doing it. Jacob and Ronnie, our dear friend, 844-24-JACOB.
Call Jacob.
866-987-2570. This is Rogan and Rodney.